wasn't its original purpose. So what was, and what powers do they have now? We'll find out in Who Are the 22 at 8 o'clock.
On BBC iPlayer.
Who's your victim?
Chinese national. They had CCTV all over the flat.
Found the recordings.
There's no one there.
Correction is a method of real-time image manipulation using the deployment of deepfake technology.
I'm now joined by Home Office Security Minister Isaac Turner.
Stop this broadcast.
They're hacking my interviews and changing my word.
Seeing is deceiving.
They are killing dissidents and attacking our national broadcast. These are acts of state-sponsored terror.
The Capture.
The truth is coming.
Continues tonight at 9 on BBC iPlayer.
Now on Radio 4, Mark Steele's in town.
Tring in Hertfordshire.
Such a lovely area.
Beautiful rolling Chiltern Hills.
They have got a traditional hardware store. You can buy screws individually.
There's no end of things to do in Tring.
The train station is miles away.
They haven't got any banks anymore.
It makes up for it in other ways.
Got an incredible amount of amazing stuffed animals.
Dead stuffed animals.
Kids love it. It's just fabulous.
Zebras.
Dogs.
The leopards.
And the wasps.
Elephant seal.
There's an amazing bear.
Big cats.
Sarah Brightman. Lots of Rothschilds.
I think there's a football referee, but I can't remember what he's called.
It's a wonderful place. Place to go, you've got to come along.
You know what, I love the snakes.
Mark Steele's in town.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Welcome to Mark Steele's in town, which this week comes from the Hertfordshire town of Tring. A vision of the future, as long as you're viewing it from 1750. Because you could film 10 minutes of Tring High Street and tell people it's a children's TV show from 1964. Hello, it's morning in Trington. Here's Mr. Boot, the cobbler from Tring Shoe Repairs, and Mrs. Kumquat, the organic grocer. And this is Mr. Truncheon, the policeman. Is the police station open today? Of course not. You've walked here from Berkhamsted, haven't you? It's very modern in Berkhamsted, isn't it? They've got a Waitrose. Ah, here's Mr. Rothschild, who owns you all. And here's Mrs. Abroad, Trington's only foreigner. I was on Tring Radio and somebody called in to say, you must go to Almar Printers, it's amazing. And I asked what was amazing about it, and they said, they've got a photocopier now. The police station is a charming building that holds the record for being the most useless police station in the world. It's not like one of those awful chain police stations that's linked to the police. Or might have a policeman in it. It's a cosy, independent one, covered in cobwebs. No one has been in there for at least 20 years. But you're a lovely town with lots of commuters. It's only 35 minutes by train from Euston to Tring. And the marvellous thing is once you get to Tring, you're only 10 miles further away from Tring than you were when you were at Euston. Tring Station is sort of the station for Tring in the same way that Great Missenden Station is the station for Rome. It's £7 in a taxi from Tring Station to Tring. Someone called Anthony sent me a message on Twitter that went, not only is Tring Station miles from actual Tring, it has a minicab firm, John's Cabs, that appears to only have one cab. But you love your little sweet independent shops here, Tring. There's not many chain shops. There's not even a bank. Though you could just call the branch of Lloyd's in High Wycombe the Tring Bank. But so there's this lovely sweet high street. I've been told that Tring has more small businesses for the population than any other town in Britain. And I can believe that, because I was in the bookshop behind a woman I'd never met before who said, hello, I'm a painter. I said, oh, that's nice. She said, would you like to buy my landscape of bluebells on the road to Marsworth? Here's my card. Then I realised everybody here is like that. You just walk round the park and somebody says, excuse me, I make personalised cheese graters. Here's my card. But there's one sort of business that's especially successful here, which is hardware shops. You've got two of of them. Grace's Hardware Shop and Metcalf's Hardware Shop. There's only a few hundred people live in the whole town. You must have 9 spirit levels each. Baths full of raw plugs. I imagine the town is split between Grace supporters and Metcalf supporters. And families tell their kids, we're Grace in this house, always have been, always will. Whichever side you're on, Tring, as we know, is part of the hills known as the Chilterns, and Tring itself is divided into lots of different areas. There's the central part that you call the Tring Triangle, which I think is called that because planes and ships disappear when they go through. And that is one of the theories about why the station is so far away. There was a train that stopped here once. It vanished in some mist. You're just right here in Tring with your small business spirit. You don't want to be all posh like Berkhamsted. And you don't want to be like Emel Hempstead with its branch of William Hills and its odd smattering of Labour voters. And its huge roundabout that's designed to get you confused so you break down so they can knit your shopping out the boot. The big city, of course, is Aylesbury. That's where you go if you want something that isn't handmade. But if you go in the other direction, now, this is what someone told me. They said the LU postcode is very much looked down upon. Well, not to play with him, darling. He's from Ivinghoe. I've looked it up and it's LU. It doesn't even mean Luton LU, it just means the Royal Mail categorise it as in the Luton region for administrative purposes. But poor Luton is so hated. You go, the fact that their envelopes brush against posts from Luton is enough for me. We're not having people from there in the house. But the main story of Tring is how you're owned by the Rothschilds. This is the world's richest and most famous banking family. And in 1872, the family bought Tring Park Mansion. So now almost everything in the town is named after a family of bankers, but somehow you've got no bank. In 1872, Lionel Rothschild bought Tring Park as a wedding present for his son Natty, because this is how the aristocracy works. I think we should own Tring and give it to our offspring. Of course, if we loved him more, we'd buy him Berkhamsted. And the Rothschild who came to dominate the town completely was Natty's son, Walter. In his biography, which was written by his niece, Miriam, she wrote, "The Rothschilds are a truly incestuous family." This is assumed to be in order to keep the family fortune intact. But with the Rothschilds, usually the explanation is they do fall in love with each other. Walter's niece remarked, "It was a wise man who knew which Rothschild was his own father." So Natty and the Baroness of Tring had a child, and the child was Walter. And he was sent to work running a bank by his father, and according to his niece Miriam, he was there for 18 years, and there is not one piece of evidence to say he worked there for one single day. But the contribution he did make to Tring was he bought dozens of kangaroos and ostriches and he released them around Tring. And his biggest obsession was cassowaries, birds that are 6 feet tall with a blue head and claws that can cut through metal and run at 30 miles an hour, which sounds more like the sort of thing they'd have in Luton. And they would run round the park. One of them attacked a horse. Imagine if a working class person walked a cassowary around the park. Oi, Tyson, get here. Get here. Sorry, mate, bloody cassowary. Don't worry, he won't hurt you. He's all feathers. Get here! Eventually, when Walter Rothschild was 40, his father said that he didn't have to pretend to work for the bank anymore. They cut him out of the will, but they did leave him enough to set up the Natural History Museum so that he could get all his animals stuffed and keep them in one place. And that is how you ended up with your bonkers museum. That is the main reason that anyone has heard of Tring. Now, the main point here, though, Tring, is this is the family that has owned your town for 150 years, and they're deranged. You're so used to having a mad museum full of crazy stuffed animals, including a dodo, you think it's more amazing that the printer has a new photocopier. So the museum started in 1892, and it is like some sort of avant-garde, mind-altering place you expect to see in Berlin or New York, but it's in Tring. And Rothschild dedicated his life to collecting animals that he could stuff. And his biography says he received visitors at Tring stark naked, swinging in his hammock at 22 stone. And now... When I came across this, I thought maybe I should revise my idea that Tring is really a kiddies' TV show. Hello, Mr. Rothschild. And what strange creature is that in your hammock? Oh, dear, Mr. Rothschild. I think you'd better put that away and put something on before you're dealt with a restraining order. Rothschild used to drive around Tring in a carriage pulled by zebras, having trained them specially. This is all very Tring, that in the 1930s, Walter Rothschild had two more zebras to take him about than the number of taxis the whole town has 90 years later. He procured 144 giant tortoises, and there's a famous photograph of him sitting on the back of one, and he would steer the tortoise using leaves of lettuce. And this all went on in quaint little Tring with your happy market and everyone painting bluebells. The heart of a town is a scene from a film made in 1967 by a bloke who'd eaten a pound of acid. He went to the Galapagos Islands to collect the tortoises. A natural history of Walter Rothschild says Walter acquired Rotuma, reputed to be the largest tortoise in the world, who was thought to be 150 years old. He had lived for many years on the grounds of a lunatic asylum in the suburbs of Sydney, where he had arrived as a gift from the King of Tonga. See, you just go, yeah. They go, what? There's 40 mental things in there in a row. But nothing surprises you here. Nothing. It wouldn't surprise if I went, then Walter went to Iceland to collect a sea lion that played the xylophone. And when it arrived in Tring, the sea lion fell in love with Stanley Baldwin, who made him Minister of Transport. I think we learned about that at school. I'm sure everyone from Hertfordshire goes on school trips. Is that the first time you went? Yeah. When I was on Tring Radio, a man called in to say he used to go there as a kid, and he always played a game where he tried to throw aniseed balls into the crocodile's mouth. So maybe in 500 years, a biologist will study that crocodile and write, I have become certain that the crocodile lives off a diet of aniseed balls. Now, I would like to speak to Simon, please. So, Simon, your job is?
Security manager at Tring Natural History Museum. I've been looking for the guy throwing the sweets into the crocodile for some time. Could you give me his details?
Simon, you were telling us about this Victorian obsession there was.
Well, yeah, the Victorians had obsession with collecting animals. Rothschild started collecting from the age of five.
That would be quite disturbing, wouldn't it, if you had a five-year-old?
He had his own taxidermist at the age of seven.
What are you doing, darling? What have you done to the cat? How long does it take, Simon, before you stop seeing the museum as odd?
Never. There's 1.1 million exhibits back of house. It's the world's best collection of birds, eggs and nests. It's a national collection. And I've got 10 scientists who are completely unique individuals who are very interesting. And then the people from Tring come in as well.
What's the questions that the kids ask?
Well, we look at the penguin. We have the first penguin that was stuffed in the world, and it's 6 inches too tall because they'd never seen one before. So I tell everyone when they brought it back to preserve it, they covered it in chocolate, and that's where... that's where penguins come from.
That's probably been written in someone's PhD now. Strangely, the most incredible exhibits of all are not the giant things, but the fleas. Because at the edge of one of the galleries are the famous fleas of Tring, brought back from Mexico, where they'd been dressed as Mexicans. That's to say, lest there be any doubt or confusion, the fleas have little flea-sized Mexican costumes. You all think this is normal, don't you? So I was doing a show in this theatre and someone shouted out towards the end, "Have you seen the fleas dressed as Mexicans, Mark?" And of course I thought this was a joke, but everyone was screaming, "It's true!" And I went, "No, of course it isn't." And everyone was going, "Yes, there are! Of course there are fleas dressed as Mexicans, you idiot! How can you think there aren't fleas dressed as Mexicans?" Because you're the only people who hear about fleas dressed as Mexicans and go, "Oh yeah, I've seen those." So, Simon, I've got to ask you, how did the fleas get there?
On a bike. They were gifts. They were Victorian curios, so husbands would buy their wives these curio as gifts, and we sell them in the shop for Christmas if people want to come and get some.
Here's my card. There was another creature introduced to Tring Park in 1902 and it became their home, which was the edible...
Dormouse.
The edible dormouse. The official name is the Gliss-Gliss. And they only lived... they only lived in mainland Europe. But Walter Rothschild brought them here and they bred until there was millions of them all over Tring. A report in 2006 said they live in your loft, they gnaw through your wiring, strip fruit trees, you can't touch them because they're protected, and they all descend from six brought to Tring by Baron Rothschild. Have you all got some here?
Yes.
Yeah. You're lucky his cassowaries didn't breed like that, really. Couldn't sleep again last night, we got cassowaries in the loft. It's no wonder you need two hardware shops. You all have to replace 100 foot of cable every day. I was thinking of Walter Rothschild as an eccentric English gent. A jolly sort. It's not like he did anything important. But he was the MP for round here. Somehow, people thought that bloke who lets lethal birds loose and greets visitors while naked in a hammock, let's put him in charge. And that, I do grant you, now doesn't seem that mad. Maybe one reason why the Rothschilds bought Tring and Walter put the museum here was they knew it would be safe. What harm could come to any of the exhibits in cosy little Tring? And that's how we come to the Great Feather Heist. The incident in which the museum was broken into and millions of pounds worth of feathers were stolen in a great British crime. One day the security man noticed a window at the back of the museum was smashed and a couple of people looked around and they couldn't see anything, so they assumed it was just a vandal. Maybe there was a new business in the area where someone says, "Hello, I'm Marjorie. If you'd like a random window smashed, here's my card." But 1 month later, it was discovered that huge drawers full of valuable feathers had gone missing and no one had noticed. They'd gone. Like the management at the Louvre going, "Oh, did there not used to be a painting of Smiley Woman?" The thief was a man called Edwin Rist, who was 20 years old, and he just walked in through the window that he'd smashed, and he filled a suitcase with feathers, walked to the station, which must have been the hardest bit. And it's recorded that he got on the train and that the guard actually asked if he wanted any help with his case. And he went, "Oh, no, thanks, mate. It's light as a..." No, it's not. Now, the reason Edwin took them was he was a fly fisherman who was an expert at tying feathers in a perfect knot for the bait. And the price of top-quality feathers could be $100 each. And as well as being awarded by Fly Tie magazine, the fly tyer of the future, Edwin was also a professional flautist. Even better, he wanted to sell the feathers to fly fishing experts so he could raise the money to buy a golden flute. It's not normal. It's like some sort of psychedelic prog rock album made in 1967 by someone who swallowed all the mushrooms and made some silly record where they go, "He took all the feathers and he ran with a swish, all purple and crimson, to wave at the fish for a golden flute as his only wish." In a way, Edwin was following the small enterprise Tring spirit, because there's an organisation called Tring Together and on their website is a list of 900 businesses. What can they all do? That's 30 for every person who lives here. That's... This is just some of them. Tring Karate Club, Tring Tai Chi, Tring Brewery, which is glorious, Tring Squadron Air Training Corps, which is very important in case you have an air battle with the LU postcode above Whipsnake. Tring TB Hire. It goes on. To be sensible, there is a reasonable explanation for why there are so many of these small businesses, which is that Tring is obviously the money laundering capital of the whole of Europe. Now, with us is Vivian, and you're part of Tring Together, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I am, yes.
And why are there so many businesses here, do you think? Because it's more than any other place.
Tring people are fantastic. They want to be involved. They want things to happen in their community. You ask them to do something, they just say yes. So I think if you're here, you know that there's people that you can give your card to and say, do you want a window broken or do you want some money laundered? And your friends will be your customers. So I think that's part of it.
You did show me this book, Tring People. The whole book is just pictures of people with their businesses. And it's just got a picture. And then at the bottom, it's got what the business is. And some of them are brilliant because a lot of people have got more than one business. This is one. Nigel Nutkins, fruit juice manufacturer and sports therapist. Malcolm Ferris Lay is tea consultant, white water rafter and Highland dancer to the Queen Mother. In the end, you think, oh, nothing had surprised me. The next one will just go, Billy Flapjack, harpsichord repairer, Zeppelin pilot and hitman. Vivian, I'll go ask you this. Why isn't there a Berkhamsted Together? Seem to be one.
Well,
not got it in them, have they?
No. There was a Berkhamsted Together. Tring Together managed to get lots of people to volunteer to help, and Berkhamsted wasn't quite like that.
I went there yesterday. It is a bit up itself. Other places near here. Right, so someone sent me a message insisting I went to Cow Roast. So I went to Cow Roast, but it was a shame, really, because I only had a day, and you can't take it all in. Now, very naively, I planned to go there for a Sunday roast at the Cow Roast Inn, because the Cow Roast Inn in Cow Roast must do roast cow, but it's the only pub in Cow Roast and it's completely derelict and boarded up. And that's all there is in Cow Roast, just a crumbling building, about three houses, a garage, nothing else, like a little town in a western. You can imagine someone going, this has always been a one-horse town around here. Until a cassowary came down from the past and trained. Now we don't even have the one house. Some of our fellas went into Tring to rob the bank, but they couldn't find the bank. The one thing they do have near there is a massive building called Norcott Hall, where Eva Perón, First Lady of Argentina, lived. What was she doing up there? Eva Pro, I went up there. This is massive gated mansion that is currently for sale for offers in excess of £7 million. And I'll read part of the estate agent's notes. This vast property with extensive grounds is packed with amazing features, such as a balcony that is ideal for singing off. The list of people who have lived here is amazing. Someone said to me, if you're lucky, in Pam's Sandwich Bar, you'll bump into Graham Pole, the football referee. The top referee who became famous because he gave the same player two yellow cards but forgotten he'd given him the first one and should have sent him off. And rather childishly, I think, a lot of people only remember him for that. And, if you did see him in Pam's Sandwich Bar, I'm sure he'd say, hello, I'm a referee, I'm available to come round your house and adjudicate on any game that you play. Here's my card. Oh, hang on, I've given you two by mistake. There's such a strange bunch of people who live around here. The famous actress Dame Peggy Ashcroft lived here in the park. She was a dame and she lived in the park in a sort of bandstand thing. Dame Peggy Ashcroft, one of the most famous actresses in British history, lived in your park. Yeah, what? In the park. So? In the park, in a bandstand.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You wouldn't think it was odd if you had an infestation of edible dames in your loft. You'd just go, oh, no, Dame Judi Dench has gnawed through the wire in it. The reservoirs here are huge in the world of bird watching. I'm not sure I trust the book The Birds of Tring. It lists the birds that are seen there. This is just literally the start. Shoveler, teal, goldeneye, goosander, smoo, greenshank, redshank, little stint, dunlin, sandpipers, on and on. Anywhere else you'd think it, they were just making it up, but I'd believe it here if it went griffin, pterodactyl. In late summer, owl from Harry Potter. Why would a bird want to come here? You'd get killed, stuffed, shoved in a drawer, stolen. No one had noticed for a month. There's North Church, where you can visit the grave of Peter the Wild Boy. He was a feral boy in the woods of Germany who walked on all fours and lived on acorns and was found by King George I's huntsman in 1724. And the king brought him back here and put him in a suit and kept him as a pet. And I don't know why I'm bothering. You're not going to be impressed. You know? Yeah, we had a nest of wild boys in the garden. I dug up the lawn. There's a book called The Washingtons of Tring about how George Washington's family lived in Tring until 1656 when George's grandfather moved to Virginia. And it's not surprising. The Rothschilds, the Washingtons, they all come from here. There's probably a book called The Einsteins of Tring and The Beyoncés of Tring and The John the Baptists of Tring and The Wayne Rooneys of Tring. I bet there are conspiracy theories where people go, all the families that rule the world come from there, right? The Washingtons came from there, and what did George Washington do? Chop down a cherry tree with an axe. And where did he get that, eh? The one place that's got two hardware shops. Think about it. So everything here looks like Trington, but it's not like that. There's a front garden competition, of course there is, but you expect to see the winner is Mrs. Birkinshaw, who has supplemented her lovely use of geraniums and lavender with a stuffed mammoth with Dame Shirley Williams riding on it. Maybe there's something in the water from the reservoirs and the Chiltern Hills that makes this place so surreal. Nothing is quite as it seems here. The brilliant thing about Tring is you'll never quite work it out, I don't think, and it's probably best not to try. So it is like a children's story, but it's not Trington. It's like a story from Alice in Wonderland. So I will leave you, Tring, with this story from the famous book by Lewis Carroll, which is possible that he wrote after visiting here. What happens when there's a crime? Said Alice to the cassowary. Oh, there's no crime here, she said. And if there is, we just go to the police station. Then will the policeman solve the crime? Asked Alice. No, because there isn't one. It's empty. And if there's no one to register a crime, there can't be any crime. So who makes the important decisions round here? Asked Alice. The edible dormice, of course, said the cassowary. They decide if your electricity cables get gnawed and if you get any sleep, and they're protected because they're in charge. Where shall we go next? Asked Alice. We could go from Tring to Tring Station, it said. But isn't Tring Station in Tring? Asked Alice. Of course not, said the cassowary. What would be the point in that? All right then, said Alice, but how will we get there? In a carriage pulled by fleas dressed as Mexicans and zebras, of course. How else?
Mark Steele's In Town was written and performed by Mark Steele with additional